Very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and to all our listeners tuning in from all corners of the country and beyond Namibia. Thank you for joining us on Eagle FM, the station where conversations count. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and you are listening to On the Reading News Analysis, your weekday deep dive into the stories shaping Namibia's economic, social, and governance landscape. Now, it's Thursday, the 20th of November, 2025, and this time at 5 minutes past the hour 1300 hours. Now, as we edge closer to the end of the week, we continue to unpack the major developments unfolding across the nation, from policy decisions influencing our economy to the social realities felt in our communities every day. Now, right here on the Reader, we don't just skim the headlines, we interrogate them. We bring you context, clarity, and conversation, connecting the dots to help Namibia understand the forces shaping our present and defining our future. Every weekday from 1300 hours to 1430, we give you the country's most pressing stories through expert interviews, archived insights, deep dive analysis, and your voices that keep the national dialogue alive. Because in a world way overflowing, in a world that's overflowing with information, thoughtful understanding remains our greatest strength. Now, today's program will be spotlighting the key national stories you need to know, exploring their wider implications, and engaging with the people at the forefront of policy, innovation, and governance. Now, remember, you can catch On the Reader on all Eagle FM frequencies, stream us live on Eagle FM app, or join in on the conversation on via WhatsApp channel, where we share exclusive clips, listener polls, and behind-the-scenes highlights. Now, wherever you're tuned in from, your office, your home, or out on the road, stay with us, stay reflective, and stay engaged, because right here on the Reader, Namibia doesn't just come to listen, Namibia comes to think. Let's jump straight into today's discussion. The importance of marketing and branding for business growth. Now, marketing and branding continue to play a critical role in the growth and competitiveness of businesses across all sectors. As Namibia's economic landscape evolves and competition intensifies, experts say companies that invest strategically in visibility, customer engagement, and brand positioning are more likely to experience long-term success. Now, marketing serves as a bridge between a business and its customers. It ensures that consumers not only know a product exists, but also understand its value, its purpose, and unique advantages. Without marketing, businesses, especially small, medium enterprises, risk remaining invisible in an increasingly crowded market. Analysts argue that even the best products struggle to thrive when customers are unaware of them. Now, joining us in studio telephonically is digital marketer and brand strategist, Muncho Kapofi. A very good afternoon to you, Muncho, and welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
Good afternoon. I'm very excited to be here with you.
Me too. It's really a pleasure to have you. It's at least to have the people that understand what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, Muncho, when we're talking about marketing and branding, which I think you live and sleep branding and marketing, mm-hmm. just exactly what are we talking about and why is it so important?
Well, when we talk about marketing and branding, marketing is like, everyday, it has to do with everyday business, and branding has to do a lot more with identity. So within this context, I think I'll speak a little bit more when it comes to personal branding, right?
Yeah.
I think personal branding is the way you present yourself, your repertoire, your unique style, and most of the times, your values. I think that is what we talk about when it comes to personal branding, the things that actually make you stand out, the things that if I say happy, what are those things that come to mind? If I say Hanso Kapofi, what are the things that come to mind, you know? That is what we talk about when it comes to personal branding.
Quite interesting. Now, we have obviously moved away from the traditional way of marketing and now going digital. Do you think a business or somebody who sells something, you know, maybe not really a huge business, can be a huge business, something small, starting off something small, must we still stick to traditional way of marketing ourselves, or must we just move entirely digital, or must we make a blend of the two? Which one do you suggest to, is best to help our products be out there?
Well, to be quite honest with you, if it's a new product you're introducing to the market, it's very important that you study the market and see what exactly the market will, how exactly the market will take your product. Mm-hmm. And the best way to study the market is through new ways of marketing through digital media. So I think digitizing everything is the best way to introduce something new in the market. The more traditional forms of media, I would love to leave that to like the multinationals that can actually afford the more traditional ways of media, because traditional media like television, radio, newspapers, those are quite expensive. When it comes to putting your products out there, it can be quite costly for you. But taking a video on your social media and posting it and using a social media influencer, for example, those are more cheaper methods of marketing, which is the best way to introduce your product to the market. So I think using the more newer ways of marketing, the much more not so traditional media, is the best way to introduce your product to the market. And it's the best way to get hit the ground running. And once you kind of sustained your business and you see, okay, the people are aware of my product and I'm able to afford a newspaper insert, or I'm able to afford a radio jingle, or I'm able to afford a television TVC, for example, then you can move more into that type of marketing. But I think we need to look more into the newer ways of marketing and not really so much the traditional media. But however, traditional media, especially radio, is still very effective.
Indeed. Now, Mujo, from a professional marketing perspective, what elements make a marketing campaign truly effective in the Namibian context?
I think I'm going to mention one right now, which is relatability. I think relatability is really something that can make something, it's something that can make your story very authentic. When we talk about relatability, if you are introducing let's talk about the Share a Coke campaign, for example, and how that created so much relatability. Putting a name on a bottle of Coke that everybody drinks every day kind of creates a story for that Coke. Once you create a story for a product, immediately it creates relatability. Once it's relatable, it sells in the market. So I think that's one very important thing for a marketing campaign. It needs to be relatable. If your campaign is not relatable, if it's not authentic, if it's not really appealing to the Namibian eye, then it won't attract as much people. And with relatability comes good colors, you know, comes a good color scheme, a good design. Those are things that actually help your product stand out. If I am introducing new type of sanitizer, for example. I'm talking sanitizer because I'm very addicted to sanitizing my hands. I'm introducing sanitizer. I would start off with building a story around COVID-19, you know, because that is something that is in everybody's mind right now. Once I build a story around COVID-19, I've already built relatability. Once I build relatability, I put a face to the brand. Even if it's an influencer, someone that also advertises something similar to the product, if I put a face to the brand, I've already started to sell, because now people know, oh no, Timing Onyango uses that product, so I want to use it too. Grace Madlana uses that product or endorses that product, I want to use it too. Sometimes things like that really just help boost your product.
Interesting. In other words, storytelling in modern marketing to reach a wider audience.
Definitely. Storytelling in modern marketing to reach a wider audience. Very interesting story. You know, I'm one person that really, really loves to travel. So I'm constantly on the lookout for like different forms of traveling, because I love to travel private, you know, like if I'm going to a lodge outside and I'm not able to drive, then I would like to maybe book something like suite route transfer services or anything of that sort. So someone told a story on social media about suite route transfer services, and immediately I was drawn to it and I wanted to jump on into it. And when I went with suite route transfer services, the kind of story that was told to me on social media is the kind of story that I got to relive. So that's how
you felt like maybe it wasn't it wasn't actually told as properly as it should have been.
Yes, exactly. I wanted to just create something myself again, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what? Yes. Let's pause right here to make room for a scheduled commercial break, but we'll be back to continue with this interesting conversation.
Definitely.
Okay.
You've leveled up in life, and now it's time to level up your contact. MTC is changing the game with our new contract data plans. More data, more voice minutes, and more SMSs. Core of everything you need. Plans start from just $199 per month. And for a limited new customers, score an extra 10 gigabytes of data valid for 90 days, absolutely free. Don't wait. Visit any MTC mobile home or call 1-2-000 to level up today. MTC, make the connection.
Welcome back. We're talking on the importance of marketing and branding, and now we are joined in studio telephonically by Muncho Kapofi. He is a digital marketer and brand strategist. Now, Muncho, just what role do customers' feedback play in shaping marketing strategies?
Well, they play a very big crucial role, because yeah, your customers are the people that at the end of the day that will be able to give you the money to afford to say things like a digital marketer and a brand strategist. So customer feedback is very important. With all the different brands that I've worked with, for example, every time we've done a campaign, we kind of find a way to see, to get some sort of feedback from the audience in terms of, did it reach the type of people that we were, or did it reach the target market that we wanted to go to? How did they receive the campaign? You know, because sometimes nowadays our campaigns can easily turn into cultural appropriation, all of those sort of things, you know. So those are the type of things you can avoid when doing, feedback. Yeah. There's another term that we use in marketing, but once you get those feedback sessions and you know that when you go back, this is the type of research you need to do in order to ensure that everybody is, catered to when it comes to this campaign.
Okay. Now, looking ahead, what trends do you think, will dominate marketing in Namibia in the next few couple of years?
Social media marketing, definitely, influencer marketing, I think those trends are the ones that are going to dominate our market very, very soon. Unfortunately, I see things like television and newspaper really, really dying out quite slowly. They are dying a very slow death. I see them non-existent. But things like radio, for example, will be a medium that will forever, I always say radio will forever be famous.
In the
famous words of Kim Kardashian, radio will forever be famous because radio reaches the masses. Everybody in the rural areas listens to radio, so it reaches the masses. For that reason, radio will still be relevant. But in terms of social media marketing, the use of social media, influencers, content creators, public figures, celebrities, brand ambassadors, that is kind of what is going to be famous in the very, very, very near future. Because these are the people that kind of are able to do what the newspapers and the televisions are doing for us at a much cheaper rate and at a much more effective rate, where you are able to measure out how many people you've reached. You know, in Namibia, we don't really have means of I can always advertise on television, but they won't be able to tell me how many viewers were watching it. But now I go to a social media influencer and they are able to compile an analytical report and tell me that I've reached 1 million people. There has been 6 million sticker steps, you know. So now I'm actually getting, and now I know where my money is going, how many people I'm reaching. And if I see that it's not working, I know how to go about it, you know.
Now let's talk about branding. When building a brand, what common mistakes do entrepreneurs make, and how can these be avoided?
You know, I think most entrepreneurs, I think the honest truth, the one thing I can tell you is when entrepreneurs mostly are building their brands, they don't go out and seek for brand strategists, or they just don't do the bare minimum of trying to do the research, to be quite honest. You know, it's very, very important to do research when starting a business. Very, very important to do research. If I am starting a calendar business today, how many calendar businesses are there? What are these calendar businesses doing? How can I, what fresh calendar am I bringing to the market? What's different from what is already in the market? Once you've answered those questions, then you know, how am I going to build my brand? You know, and when people build their brands, it's as simple as creating a CI guide. It's as simple as creating social media, you know, all those small, small details. Yeah. A lot of people think those details are not as important, but Lebo Lion once said, if you're not on social media, you're non-existent. So if your business is not on social media, nobody knows about it, you know? Yeah. So it's very, very important to do your research. And once you've done your research and answered all those different questions, seek help. Reach out to different brand strategists. Most of the times you don't have budget, but I'm telling you, there are so many people that are willing to do this work. What is the word? They're willing to do this work pro bono just to get someone on their portfolio. So if you reach out to a brand strategist, they are able to help you build your business from the ground up because they are able to position you in an area where you are, where they best see fit for your business. In addition to that, most entrepreneurs also just don't see the importance of attending things like conferences or, you know, seminars, all those different things. You know, these seminars are where your next investors are. If I go today to the Creative Symposium being hosted by the Bank of Namibia, going there will give me 5 new customers and a potential investor within those 5 different customers. Exactly. You know, just going out, networking, those are the simple mistakes entrepreneurs make. And unfortunately, we don't have enough platforms in our country to just tell our entrepreneurs really about how this works.
Yeah, I appreciate that, hey. Now, just how important is brand consistency and what does consistency actually like look like in daily operations?
Well, brand consistency is very important. You can't not be consistent as a brand. Just like how as a social media influencer, you can't not be consistent on social media, you understand?
Yeah.
So, how brand consistency looks like from a branding perspective is honestly just delivering as much as you can, at the same pace that you're doing it, as expected from your business. So if I deliver 5 calendars weekly, then it should always be 5 calendars that I'm delivering weekly.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not able to deliver 5 calendars weekly, I should be able to tell my potential consumers, my potential consumers that I'm not able to because of A, B, C, and Z. And you know, as a business owner, you need to find a creative way to do it. You can't tell your business people that I'm not printing 5 calendars this week because there's no capital. You find a fun and creative way to do it. Like, we apologize for the inconvenience this week, but due to mass production, we are not able to do it. Mm. Of course, You can't let the people know about the inside struggles because that you're kind of creating a problem on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But consistency is supposed to be there for your brand. And I'm not only talking about consistency when it comes to service delivery. I'm talking about consistency when it comes to how you deal with your clients. I'm talking about consistency when it comes to your social media posts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're posting 5 posts a week, let it be 5 posts a week. If you're posting on your stories weekly, let it be posted on your stories weekly.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a podcast as a brand, post as a brand your podcast on time when it's supposed to be there, because you kind of create, when your brand is consistent, you kind of create an area in your audience mind. Like, I know every Sunday and every Monday, McG's Spreading Humus comes out. And in addition to Spreading Humus, we have McG's podcast that comes out on Monday. So that time slot is booked in my mind. That's the same way you book time slots in your audience's mind. That's the same way Nunu's Kitchen, every day, 12 o'clock, they're posting their poster with the different menus, you know. It's booked in my mind. I know that if I want to see, you know, that's brand consistency. That's how you build it.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, finally, Muntshe Kapofi, what makes a brand memorable in the minds of consumers? And also, lastly, while we are at it, what are your final words to entrepreneurs and business people out there in order for them to put their products out there to gain more customers?
Well, the one word I would just say is relatability.
Mm-hmm.
A brand that is relatable and authentic always sells. A brand that is relatable and authentic always sells. A brand that is relatable and authentic always sells. How many times did I say that?
You said it 3 times. Yeah.
It's very important to create relatability for your brand. I think storytelling alongside a brand sells to the masses. If I can buy a Coca-Cola from you today and say, Coca-Cola did this and this and this, and that is why I told my mom to get a Coca-Cola with her name on it. Immediately, I've created relatability, I've created the story, and the next person will want to do the same. So you need to have an authentic brand that is relatable to your audiences. And I'm not saying it should be relatable to the over 3 million people in Namibia. No, let it be relatable to that audience that you've created. If you have an audience of about 500 people, let it be relatable to those 500 people because they are your real audience.
Yeah.
We need to remember that not everybody is going to be satisfied with our product, but we will have an audience of 500 people that we are able to cater to. And when we want to expand, we find a way to expand that is also creative to the additional people that we are adding. And my final words for entrepreneurs is, honestly, keep pushing. The business is there. There's a big cake. Everybody can eat from it. But for you to eat from the cake, you need to ensure that you are selling a real, authentic, relatable brand and you've built an amazing brand strategy. How you build amazing brand strategy is by doing your market research and ensuring that your product is not the same in the market, but it has its differences, which makes people want to get into those differences of that brand. That way you've built brand relatability, and you've heard it from me, Hantsho Kapofi.
I'm telling you, you have no idea how I appreciate a guest who knows what they are talking about. Do you know how good that looks on the presenter?
Oh my God. You don't need to tell me twice.
Mucho, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis. I sure hope the message has hit differently for business people and entrepreneurs.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And of course, there you had it from Hantsho Kapofi, talking to us about the importance of marketing and branding. I think this is a topic that is very necessary, especially to business people. Whether you're into a small business company or it's a big business, you just can never go wrong with marketing your produce or marketing your product, and also branding. Yeah. Use the right colors, use the right logo so that you can actually reach the people out there. You will get back that which you put in it. Now, Hantsho Kapofi is a digital marketer and a brand strategist. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We're still on this very interesting topic today. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
You are tuned into On The Reading News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. Of course, today we're talking about the importance of marketing and branding for any business to grow. Now, while marketing does require financial investment, industry specialists emphasize that the returns often outweigh the initial cost. Effective marketing campaigns lead to increased sales, broader reach, stronger customer loyalty, and an improved market reputation. For many businesses, this visibility becomes a key driver of growth, enabling them to expand operations, reach new communities, and compete with establishing brands. Now, branding, on the other hand, shapes how customers perceive a business. A strong brand identity, from the logo and messaging to the tone, personality, and customer experience, helps build trust. It gives customers a sense of consistency, reliability, and emotional connection. In today's digital economy, branding also extends to online presence, social media engagement, and customer service interactions. Marketing and branding work hand in hand. Now, marketing creates awareness and drives interest, while branding ensures that customers remember, trust, and prefer a particular business over competitors. So, it is known that this combination is essential for businesses aiming to build lasting relationships with their audience. For Namibia's small business, small medium enterprises especially, a well-executed marketing and branding strategy can make the difference between staying stagnant and scaling up. It enables businesses to position themselves in the market, communicate their unique value, and stand out in an increasingly competitive environment. Now, as the business sector continues to recover from economic pressures, stakeholders encourage enterprises to view marketing not as an expense, but as an investment, one that contributes directly to growth, sustainability, and long-term success. Now, let's take a listen to Pasval Elijah. Pasval Elijah is the Acting Manager, Marketing and Corporate Communications at the Agro Marketing and Trade Agency, also known as AMTA.
A very good afternoon to you, Pasval Elijah. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the Reading News Analysis.
Very good afternoon, Juju. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
And also very good afternoon to the listeners.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Elijah, we are talking about the importance of marketing and branding. And I think this is a topic that has become now very common and very familiar with yourself. Considering you are into marketing and corporate communication at AMTA. Now, when we're talking about branding and the importance of marketing, what exactly, in your opinion, would you say we're talking about, and why is it so significant?
Okay, thank you so much. Like you rightly highlighted, so this is one key area or aspect that I get to work with, and you can never separate the two, hey, marketing and corporate communications. You will see that in of late, these are actually intertwined. So you will find that in most organizations, they are always together. So it's marketing and communication. So the whole idea, when you speak about marketing or communications or branding, this is just you as an institution, you know, selling yourself or make yourself known, you know, to your audience. It's basically selling your product, your idea. What is it that you would want to know your customer know about what you have? So it's very imperative, or it's very critical in the sense that, you know, it's a way of how you get to let know your product, so that you get in return what you are expecting of your customers or of your audience. So this is a key aspect or area in all businesses, institutions, such that it's the way of us now sending our messages to our audiences. Mm. In a nutshell, if I can put it that way.
Yeah. First of all, what are the biggest misconceptions businesses have about marketing and branding?
I can tell you. Yeah. Not that I'm speaking from experience, but I think I've also encountered this. You know, I can even give you an example to say, with marketing, right, there's a saying that you need to spend more for you to achieve more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you are not investing in that area, it means your end result or your return on investment will not be, you know, what is expected. So I would say some misconception around the whole idea of marketing, branding, communication is that people have it that it does not play, you know, much that critical role. In fact, it does, because this is what gets to build institutions. Yeah. This is what will make you who you are. In a way, you are creating an identity of who is Faisal, who is AMTA, who is Eagle FM. So have you invested more in that aspect in terms of marketing? It means that you will establish yourself, or your foundation will be laid in such a way that it is strong within the eyes of the public, and people will get to know you even without you speaking. Your brand will speak for itself. So you really have to invest in this. And this is one thing that we need to do away with it, or overlooking, to say this is a small function. This is not so imperative, to actually change our mindset in saying that we actually need this, because this is what defines us. This is what tells the people that who is this, or who is that, what type of product are you, you know, into about. So, yeah.
Now, many business owners often say marketing is expensive, but which is kind of like sometimes maybe understandable, but then again, it's because they don't see the end result of what they are putting putting in. Now, what strategies can you say can low budget or startup businesses use perhaps to be able to market themselves effectively?
We live in a digital era. We find ourselves in a where one can leverage on different platforms or different marketing platforms. So as opposed to us now making use of more of the traditional ways of marketing or promoting products and services, I'll give an example. Also, it depends in terms of your audience, your target audience. Either you make use of the traditional, this is the newspapers, this is the radio, this is, I mean, actually radio is, I would say it's both. As much as we say it's traditional, you have your target audience, but then this radio is more into, it's digitalized, you know? It has also been digitalized. So it's a matter of you now identifying your customers and what speaks best to them. How best can you reach your customers? As much as we say it is expensive, there are also ways one can leverage on or implement to ensure that you still get your messages across, but also making use of the minimal budget that you have. For example, as opposed to now me making use of, say, a TV ad, or
radio ad, maybe.
Radio ad or something like that. And I would opt to say, why not use my social media platforms or maybe my website? Also, if I know that my audience or the people that I'm targeting definitely have access to social media, I'll definitely go there. All I need to do is have my post ready. Then I boost the post. It means that it will even reach a more wider audience compared to me having used or spent more on the TV advert. Because if you look at and you remember in terms of TV, if not everybody gets to watch TV, there are prime times where they get sit and they know, okay, fine. Perhaps before news, this is where you'd want to have your adverts run. And those are also the expensive slots, but then you wouldn't want that. But if you have your promotions or your marketing material, say on social media, this one is across all the time, all the prime slots, and everyone will be able to receive your messages instantly and, you know, across a larger audience. So there are definitely ways of how one gets to, you know, market their products and services, also making use of minimal resources. But we still have to make appropriate and adequate financial investments within the marketing divisions or activities.
Now, Faisal, for you being in the agriculture and food produce industry, in terms of marketing and branding, how do you suggest perhaps farmers go about in actually marketing their produce? And talk to us also about branding. I'm sure it's not a walk in the park to brand your wonderful juice that you started making.
Yeah.
But talk to us about that.
Definitely. You will agree with me that as a Namibian community and our farmers mostly, there is so much potential. We get to produce locally. We get to produce this product. But not everybody has an idea of that, right? So how do we then get to do that? I remember I had a discussion not so long ago. I think it was two months ago or so at one engagement. And the key aspect was also to highlight the importance of, you know, digitalization. to say, as opposed to me being a farmer far in the Zambezi region or in Opuo or wherever it is, you know, I'm far from the market, right? But I would want my product to reach the community. So me taking advantage of the digitalization aspect is that I'm assured that my product will be able to reach the market. And one of the discussions around that was that, okay, fine, as a marketing agency, we are a government agency that gets to market and trade agricultural products.
Yeah.
So we would want, the whole idea is to ensure that these products that are locally produced in Namibia eventually reach the market. How do they get to reach the market? Is if the public gets to know about this product and they accept it and have that pride to say, this is my product. So when you've done a proper in terms of your audience and what is it that you would want to sell, your people or the customer, your target audience will eventually buy in your product. Mm-hmm. This is where the aspect of customer loyalty comes in, because I've been assured, I know this is my product, and also I would want to have that pride of me that I'm consuming a locally produced product. So it's the pride, it's the sense of me having consumed what is produced in, and I know that me doing so, it also contributes positively in terms of bringing an income to that farmer and thereby contributing to the GDP of to the economy of the country.
Yeah.
So this is how you get to, when you have done your thorough research and invested appropriately, you will know that in the end, you are getting what you are expecting. So in terms of our agricultural products or marketing, this, it's also one aspect that we need to invest in, both us as the marketing agencies, as well as our producers and our farmers. I'll give an example. Let's say as a farmer, being far wherever you find yourself and you have your readily available product. However, as AMTA, we need to take up these products, right? And send it to the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we take cognizance of the standard aspect of it, it would also be easier because we will be notified if we had a platform that brings both you, the producer, as the marketer, as well as the consumer, right? We know that this is the type of product that you have, and this is where it is available digitally. So it's you in your comfort zone. You are doing your marketing like that. I have this product, and then AMTA is ready to take up your product, and then eventually sells it up wherever there is a market. So with such being in place, it will obviously, you know, lessen the burden of also farmers, you know, having to struggle to say, how do I run to AMTA and go tell them these are the products that I have? They can easily do it for their own comfort zone. So this is the benefit and the good, you know, aspect of marketing and branding, you know, services.
Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that businesses also sometimes are hidden, or their products are hidden because of lack of knowledge. They don't know the right agencies or the right people or the right platforms that can actually help them boost their products or their produce so they can get more customers.
Now, exactly.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate, eh?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you spoke obviously about what you guys do at AMTA. What furthermore, in terms of expanding a business or educating the public or the farmers or anyone in the agricultural business, what furthermore do you do to help leverage to actually ensure that you reach your goal at AMTA?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in terms of assisting our farmers, so what I can, if I can put it this way, right? The whole aspect is for us now being the middleman between producers and consumers, right?
Yeah.
So it's for us now to market what is locally produced within the Namibian community, and with so much need be, we eventually, you know, extend it beyond the Namibian borders. I'll give an example of, and I don't know if I'm allowed to.
Please go ahead.
I'll give an example on our Golden Fresh brand, our maize meal and the Mahango flour, you know? Mm-hmm. So the whole idea was that because we manage the National Strategic Food Reserve, And of the grain that we buy from our local farmers, the idea back then was for us to store the grain products and only release when there's a need through the office of the Prime Minister. Maybe if there's drought in the country and now you ought to supply some certain areas. Yeah. And then as opposed to now us just storing or reserving this product, we're like, why not add value to this product?
Mm.
And then in 2021, we established our mill. So the mill is in the Kavango West region. So this is where we get to mill and eventually sell this finished product in the form of maize meal and the mahango flour, right?
Yeah.
So we have established that market to say we sell it. It was to save our communities as opposed to just us now reserving in our silos. We wanted now to also save them in terms of they can get their maize meal and their mahango flour. But I can tell you, Juju, is that through our marketing initiatives and branding strategies, we've also successfully ensured that this product is not only consumed in Namibia,
mm-hmm.
but also secured a market in Angola.
Mm.
So the people from Angola get to consume our product that is produced here in Namibia. So imagine you going to visit Angola on the other side and you find your product,
yeah.
a Namibian product on,
yeah.
on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you? It tells you as a nation, you are known beyond your border.
Mm.
And this is what you are known for, to say, with the quality of the product that this people get to receive, you have, in a way, positioned yourself in the community or within those areas that where you are a supplier of this type of product. And people will get to look for the product because you've done your good job in terms of marketing this product as a GMO-free product, as a Namibian product. So people will find pride in consuming your product. So you basically having to do the right in terms of what is it that the people would want to know is that you have delivered on your mandate.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of answer also additionally to the product that you highlighted, because we are trying, we are in a phase of value addition and agro-processing, and you all agree with me that this has been Her Excellency's, key priority area, agriculture-led strengthening the sector. How do we do this, collectively and all that. So similarly, as AMTA as well, as opposed to us just selling those products raw as we get it from the farmers, we are now also trying to add value to the product. So you as a customer, in the end, you will know that, oh, it's the same tomato that I had, supplied to AMTA. So I'm eating this tomato now in a form of what? Of a tomato crust, or in the form of a tomato sauce, or it's a tomato jam. So these products now, when they are ready, they need to be marketed so that such that it's not only within the Namibian community, even beyond. I'll give an example of the famous industry that gets to make use of processed products, like the fishing industry. They are always on sea. They hardly, are on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
And they would need more products. So these are the sectors or industry that one gets to, you identify, that it now, this is the market that I would want now to absorb my product. Well, you have identified the need, and then now you need to now to come up with the product. So you come up with your product, you market it, and then they take it up.
Mm.
And you are good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
First of all, let me take you off topic a little bit. In terms of addressing the agro-processing capacity or storage, what is it that AMTA has in store or in plan in order to close that gap?
Yeah. Okay, I know you are really taking me off, but it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we highlighted this in my also previous engagements with other stakeholders to say, currently as a nation, our the national strategic food is that these are the ones that will say government silos, right?
Yeah.
We stand at 22,900 metric tons.
Okay.
So us standing at that amount, it means that say we find ourselves in prolonged crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what happens in the times of COVID. That was just a snippet, if I can put it that way.
Okay.
Just a small portion. say we find ourselves in prolonged crisis, that we are unable to bring in products from elsewhere. Obviously, the demand is there because we eat daily and all that.
Yeah.
I can tell you that with this holding of storage facilities, as a country, we will not be able to feed ourselves for such a long period. And these are one of the key priority areas as an agency, of course, through our mother ministry now, to say we are now advocating for expansion of the grain storage or the silos themselves, to say that should we find ourselves, not that we are in a situation or some
of
sort.
Of course, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear
yeah. Because you all agree with me that this marketing season we've actually been blessed. There's been so much abundance in terms of production, and our families are actually happy. So let's say now we find ourselves in such a situation. The whole idea is just that if we have now expanded our storing capacities, it means that we are also now, you know, assuring or giving assurance to our communities to say that as a country we should be able to feed ourselves in a situation of crisis, that we are no longer able to bring products from elsewhere. Mm. And it goes back now to us saying, how much do we produce locally? Mm. Are we able to do so? If now, as much as we are talking about expanding the silos, it should also be a question of saying, are we also producing enough? Because if we are importing, it means that what we are producing locally is not sufficient.
Exactly.
Right? So we are now bringing from elsewhere. So it all was hand in hand. It's us now, as Namibian communities, being able to produce sufficient, and we get to store these products and supply. We consume locally. And if we have more than what we are consuming, then we look at the outside market and see how we can position Namibia as a brand beyond the borders. Mm.
Yeah. You are certainly a communications lady. Now, Paswell, finally, what advice would you give to a Namibian entrepreneur who wants to grow their business but doesn't know where to start with marketing?
You can never go wrong with marketing. That's one thing I can tell you. You can never go wrong with marketing, because the moment you have, grasped that knowledge of you knowing how to sell your product, you will definitely position yourself. As much as there are any other competitors, they will always go for that one. So you know that this is where I know I'm going to get my value for money. Mm. I know if I spend this much, I'm guaranteed a product that I'll be, happy and satisfied with. So with marketing, with small businesses that are upcoming entrepreneurs, let's invest in marketing, Let's know our product. Let's know our customers. First thing first, know who are your targets.
Mm.
You need to know that, because it makes no business sense to come up with a product when you do not even know where are you going to sell your product.
Yeah.
So once you have identified your audience, you know exactly that this product is for this audience. How do I then get this product to that target audience? It means that you have done your research, you have gotten your feedback, and then you are doing or selling the correct product, what people want. So I also now refer back to say, for example, with our value addition products, right? Is that upon identifying that, okay, fine, these products are going to waste, we didn't just take up to say, okay, fine, because we know the tomatoes, all those products are going to waste, we are already selling it to the product. What if it's not what the public expects?
Yeah.
What we did is now we ran our research further to say, okay, should we come up with this product? Are you going to buy it? Does it meet your expectations from us as after or as a supplier of products? Then we take up the product, we send it to the community, let the people have a look, a feel, a taste of those products, and if they are happy, you know yourself that you are guaranteed that there is a market. Because in the end, if you do not do such, you will find yourself that you have came up with a product that does not have a market. I'll give you an example also of brand of vehicle brand that was bought in Namibia. I do not know if there was no proper research that was most likely, maybe there was no much research done. So with that vehicle brand that was brought, in the Namibian community. As much as it was doing so well outside, it became that not everybody bought the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, they ended up having a plant here in Namibia, but then the vehicles are not moving. So this is where we come in now as marketing and branding specialist or person to say, you need to be assured, you need to have done your research so that you know that in the end, you are secure, you know a market that your products will go for. There's also one, now this one on a positive note, is there's also one vehicle brand that also made it so good to a point that people are buying that brand like what takes, and you just wanted to say why. It's because they've done their research properly. And they know who is their market, and they know how they get to communicate to this, their audience. So with entrepreneurs, businesses, you can never go wrong with marketing. Just ensure that you know who is your target audience. You know what is it that they expect of you. And then you are good to go. Your product will be selling like any other. Even as much as you have these competitors and what, they will be coming to you as a business because they know, and you have also now given assurance of the quality of the product that you are giving to them. So in a way, you have positioned yourself as the strongest brand compared to the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. In other words, market your business or your product or your produce very well, and your product will be selling like hot fat cakes, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Fasma Elijah, thank you so much for making time for us and educating us and the Namibian people, the Namibian business people also, on the importance of marketing and branding. I certainly appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. This was actually a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and there you had it from Fasma Elijah. She is from AMTER, also just educating us on the importance of marketing and branding a product. Now, I wouldn't do justice if I come on here, bring on the people to educate you on how to market your business, market your products or your produce, and not tell you our very own platform right here, Eagle FM, where you can actually market your produce and your products. Now, remember, Eagle FM is a radio station, but we do also have our sister magazine, which is called newspaper. Yeah, but then we do put beautiful pictures out there, if that constitutes it to call it a magazine. So we do have the Villager e-paper, which is out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and to educate you on social and economic news. Now, here's where you get the information to learn where to be and what happened at the particular event, what information was shared at that particular event that is of utmost importance to you or as a business person or to your business or to your product or your brand. Also, other than that, Eagle FM has a large following or massive following on Facebook. Just head over to Eagle FM Namibia, and right there you can actually advertise your product or your business via our Eagle FM Facebook page. Now, we also are on Instagram, on LinkedIn, Facebook, WhatsApp channel as well. We do have a WhatsApp channel that you can follow for where we put up our interview clips and also some products you can also be able to advertise with us. Now, remember also, other than that, we have the Imba app. Did you know that Imba app is associated with Eagle FM, you all? No, you probably didn't know. That Imba app that you've downloaded in your phone is a brand of Eagle FM or a sister to Eagle FM. Now, we have all those platforms where you can actually market your business. All you have to do is call our marketing lady, that is Monica, on 083-288-4411. Now, as opposed to 01 at the end, for you to be able to come through into the studio to air opinions or contributions, you add a zero. So that will be 083-288-4000. I repeat that again, 083-288, that is 48400. Call in and we can actually give you a quotation on how you can market your business. So don't have a product or a business and just be there having it in silence and not actually putting it out there and reaching the masses that you need to reach, the customers that you need to reach. make sure that you call and advertise your business with us right here on Eagle FM. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. This is On The Radar News Analysis.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, this is the part where we tell you about economic indicators. Now, of course, US dollar today is equals to 17.25 Namibian dollars. £1 sterling is equals to 22 Namibian dollars and 54 cents. €1, on the other hand, is equals to 19 Namibian dollars and 88 cents. £1 is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 37 cents. United Arab Emirates dirham is equals to 4 Namibian dollars and 70 cents. Let's head over to trading economics. The infrastructure output in India was unchanged from the previous year in October of 2025, holding the upwardly revised 3.3% increase in the previous month. Now, it was the first period without expansion in 14 months, reflecting some pressure from the aggressive tariffs on India passed by the US, which drove multiple businesses to announce cuts in capacity. Output fell sharply for coal at minus 8.5% versus minus 1.2% in September, crude oil at minus 1.2% versus minus 1.3%, natural gas at minus 5% versus minus 3.8%. Now, to underscore the sensitivity of macroeconomic headwinds on energy markets. In the meantime, output continued to grow for fertilizers, steel and cement amid some resilience on non-energy sectors. Belgium's consumer confidence indicator rose to 2 in November 2025, that is after a flat reading in October. Households' expectations regarding their ability to save reached their highest level of the year, rising to 26 from 23 in October, while concerns about unemployment fell for their lowest point at minus 10, down from minus 6. Now, in addition to that, expectations about economic situation in Belgium were slightly less pessimistic, improving to minus 26 from minus 27. Meanwhile, households were neutral about their personal financial situation at zero, compared to minus 2 in October. And with that being said, we move over to news beyond the borders of Namibia. Now, as usual, we always start off in South Africa, start off regionally, move over to continental news, and thereafter bring you international news. Let's start off right in South Africa on the impact of Donald Trump's non-attendance at the South Africa's G20 summit.
Broadcaster of the G20 South Africa 2025.
Now, the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Ronald Lamula, says that South Africa is on track to host the world's leaders for the G20 Leaders Summit, which takes place this weekend. And it is, of course, the first time that an African country is hosting one of the world's most influential economic forums. The G20 Summit, a platform for world leaders to address pressing global issues, and South Africa has used its presidency of the G20 to promote Africa's development and to shape a more equitable world order, or at least try to. So to help us discuss how the continent can and has leveraged this position within the G20 to advance key development priorities, we're joined by the South African Institute of International Affairs Chief Executive, Elizabeth Sideropoulos. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time, and thanks so much for your patience with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Sakina.
So, Elizabeth, first and foremost, let's just start here. I was just reading through a few of the international publications and just looking at how they are reporting on this matter. And one of the articles that I read says that this G20 has been overshadowed by the absence of Trump and his administration. Well, has it, in your view?
Well, certainly in, you know, one can say that this has dominated a lot of the discussions that the G20 has received. But I think a lot of really good work has gone into the process over the course of the year. I think there has been, really good cooperation among, the other members of the G20 on driving and helping, to drive South Africa's agenda. And I think irrespective of whether we get a declaration at the end of the day or simply a chair summary this weekend, I think there have been significant issues that South Africa has put on the agenda and that can be driven forward in subsequent years. We must remember that the G20 is a process, that in fact even a lot of the achievements of the G20, for example, in multilateral development bank finance, were started 3 or 4 years ago during the Italian presidency. And so each G20 builds on previous ones. And I think South Africa has driven forward some of the issues that have been on the agenda in prior years. It certainly has built on the issues that the Indonesian, Indian, and Brazilian presidency put on the table during their chairmanship, really focusing on making development a centerpiece of the discussions on the G20. And South Africa has also put additional issues on the agenda or reprioritized issues that were there but may have not received the same kind of focus. So, and that's been really looking at what is important for Africa. So just energy transitions, the issue of debt sustainability, the issue of critical minerals and industrialization, and then very, very importantly, inequality, and the report by the independent experts panel on inequality, which was presented to the president a couple of weeks ago.
And speaking of Africa, and I want to come back to those priorities, but as the African continent,
Sakina, I can't hear you.
Well, my apologies there, Elizabeth. I'm hoping you can hear me now, if you could just give me an indication back there with you. So I was going to ask you about Africa and, of course, Africa's voice in this G20. So this is the first time that this very influential gathering is taking place on the African continent and South Africa being president. But with that, with the presence now of the African Union as another permanent member of the G20, how is Africa's voice changing in this platform?
So previously, the African Union had observer status, and so it would attend some of the meetings, but, you know, wasn't a full member. This year, and of course last year, this has changed. And I think the AU has also ramped up its technical know-how in order to participate, and its capacity in order to participate in all of the very many meetings that have been held during the course of the year. I think it's provided support to South Africa's positions It's not the only country that has, not the only member that has provided support to South Africa's agenda. But I think also sitting in on some of the discussions, it's really been interesting to see how on many of the issues, particularly when we're doing text negotiations, that the AU and South Africa are on the same page when it comes to Africa's developmental priorities and concerns. Going forward, of course, I think it's about ramping that capacity up. It's about ensuring that it's not just the African Union Commission and the rotating presidency of the AU that is involved and participates in the conversations, but that we actually spread the engagement and the appreciation and understanding of the importance of the G20 as a platform across the continent.
And the beneficiation of those critical minerals, Elizabeth, that is particularly important.
I lost you again, Sakina.
Our apologies. You know what, Elizabeth?
You're back.
We certainly will catch up again with you, Elizabeth. Let's park it there for the time being. Elizabeth Sideropoulos, South African Institute of International Affairs Chief Executive, speaking about Africa's growing influence in the G20 summit. And we'll try and catch up with her again over this weekend.
SABC.
Let's move over to Zambia, where dermatologists, urges early treatment for vitiligo patients.
Vitiligo is a skin condition where some white patches appear on the body. Livingstone residents have expressed their views on this condition.
To me, I think genuinely is when you see unusual some that comes up on your body, I think is to seek a medical checkup.
It's a skin condition that maybe some people are born with. Yes.
I think it's a disease. I don't know much about it, but I think any condition, most especially of that kind, it requires maybe specialized people to look at it and maybe even treat it.
Meanwhile, Livingstone University Teaching Hospital consultant dermatologist Malan Maluman says vitiligo is curable if it is treated on time.
Well, vitiligo is not dangerous, except that it has got that psychological toll on individuals who are different. So you find that you are different. You are not like your colleagues or your peers. Okay. So how does one get to know that they have vitiligo? So these individuals will get to have a light skin patch. So it can occur on any part of the body, from the eyes, the mouth, or in the private parts, okay? Others, they find that they have whitening of the parts of their hands, the toes, okay? And that may make some individuals very uncomfortable, okay? And others, they tend to shy away, okay?
He has also urged members of the public to seek medical attention on time.
It's important that parents from time to time, they do check their children. And if they see anything strange or any pigment discoloration, they come to the hospitals. Because other conditions like leprosy, and idiopathic Goutte type of melanosis can present similar to vitiligo. Okay, so it's very important that if
people with this skin condition should not isolate themselves, but rather seek medical attention on how to manage vitiligo. Chuma Mulimba, ZNBC News, Livingstone.
And now we'll move over into Uganda. If it may be, where scientists say that pathogens are becoming resistant to drugs, and talking about drug resistance.
Have you ever taken a full course of treatment for an infection, only for the illness to persist? That could be a sign of antimicrobial resistance, a condition where germs no longer respond to the medicines designed to kill them, forcing patients to rely on stronger and often more expensive drugs. Scientists warn that while this may not be everyone's experience yet, Misuse and overuse of medicines are driving a crisis that now demands urgent personal responsibility.
Many of the drugs that we are using are failing. Drugs like Amoxil, Penivir, drugs for some of the drugs for malaria like the chloroquine, some of the drugs we are using like Cipro. Many of these drugs are failing for particular infections or diseases. Now we are getting into the post-antibiotic era where no drug works. And this is not just for flu and what, but even for things like malaria. Right now, we have only two drugs, Coartem and Quinine. If you go beyond those two, we can only say God help you.
And if you're wondering whether Uganda is affected, the answer is a worrying yes. In 2019 alone, 37,800 Ugandans died due to antimicrobial resistance, more than the deaths recorded from TB and HIV combined that year. The problem cuts across sectors. At today's conference to mark Antimicrobial Resistance Awareness Week, researchers reported finding traces of antiretroviral drugs in livestock and poultry, a sign of widespread drug misuse across the food chain.
But because normally they will find very small quantities, you can't even know where are these quantities coming from. It could be from the sharing of drugs with animals, or it could be environmental exposure. Like the animals are certainly feeding from the environment, and if there are ARVs in the environment, you could still test animal samples and find those drugs. So what we need is more studies and like more knowledge and understanding of the area to try and understand those misuse issues.
This, supported by the Fleming Fund, also show that antimicrobial resistance is costing farmers heavily, reducing productivity and threatening livelihoods. Globally, scientists warn the world is rapidly running out of effective options to treat common infectious diseases, a scenario that could push healthcare systems into crisis.
5 years back, we had about less than 10 laboratories in the country that we are consistently doing this. But that is for human health. But of now, we have about 24 laboratories in healthcare facilities in government and PNFP healthcare facilities that can now conduct this microbiology and give results to inform treatment of infectious diseases so that antimicrobials are used appropriately.
People who have drug-resistant infections or infections because of those germs that do not get treated stay longer in hospital because, I mean, if you have a drug and they just give you and in the next 3 days you're jumping, you don't need to be admitted, but they stay longer in hospital. Number two, and very disappointing, is it is very expensive.
We are engaging private sector players, hospitals, manufacturers, like quality chemicals, those who manufacture drugs, to play a role in financing and supporting government of Uganda efforts.
The message is clear. Every individual has a role in slowing resistance. Use medicines only when prescribed. Complete the full dose and avoid self-medication. Simple steps that could prevent a global health catastrophe. Walter Mwesije, NTV.
Africa's only nuclear plant has secured a 20-year operating extension.
Around Coburg's Unit 2 were put to rest after the National Nuclear Regulator granted a fresh 20-year license extension. It comes just months after Unit 1 was granted the same, securing the future of Africa's only nuclear plant well beyond 2040.
This license means that we have an opportunity to derive electricity supply from these two reactors, which give us in total 1,860 megawatts. It will going to ensure that the nuclear continues to be part of the base load capacity.
A pillar of South Africa's energy system, Coburg now sits at the center of an ambitious new nuclear builds program. The plan includes a new power station, domestic uranium development, and reviving South Africa's pebble bed modular reactor after 15 years.
If we get this done properly, that will make us one of the players in the market, and for both the technology itself and also for the fuel itself. You know, so remember that Nexa used to produce fuel for Kubek, so we can then leverage that from a PBMR point of view. If we can finalize that fuel, you know, then we can offer it to the world.
South Africa was once a pioneer in small modular reactors, but has since been outpaced by China.
China is a strong contender. They have a strong nuclear program in their home country. They have the experience and the resources to deliver, and they seem to be able, certainly in their home country, to deliver quicker than certainly the European and American vendors.
We are seeking opportunities to collaborate with China. And this goes with the other countries as well that are advanced in nuclear, in the nuclear space. I'm talking about France, talking about the USA. So we really are looking at resuscitating all those meaningful partnerships.
South Africa's nuclear vision isn't just about keeping the lights on. It's about reclaiming its place at the forefront of global research and innovation as the world's appetite for nuclear power surges. Chilishara CHTN, Cape Town.
UN-Chief warns that Sahel is now the world's top terrorist hotspot.
According to the 2024 Global Terrorism Index, sub-Saharan Africa is the epicenter of terrorism, with the Sahel region the most impacted, accounting for almost half of all deaths from terrorism and 26% of attacks in 2023 alone. Several terrorist groups, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram, operate in the region, and countries like Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger and parts of Nigeria have borne the brunt of their attacks.
The jihadist insurgencies across the entire Sahel of Africa. But the jihadist insurgency itself is also matched with and it's become integrated with existing grievances in many communities. So you can see, for example, in Mali, in Burkina Faso, in Niger, the jihadist insurgency has become matched with historical grievances of excluded communities, minority communities in those countries, who themselves have been fighting for some form of autonomy.
The Alliance of Sahel States, a new bloc formed by Mali, Burkina Faso and Niger, has set up its own joint military force to tackle terrorism. In their first AES summit in 2024, the heads of state of the three countries reaffirmed their determination to jointly combat and eradicate terrorism in all its forms and organized crime within the alliance's area of operation. According to UN estimates, around 4 million people have been forcibly displaced in the Sahel region, the overwhelming majority of them women and children. Nearly 15,000 schools have been shut down, and over 900 health facilities have been closed. The statistics paint a very grim picture.
The current peace and security situation of our community is characterized by the recurrence and expansion of terrorism. Despite the various efforts of our member states, terrorist attacks have expanded from their initial strongholds of the Sahel to neighboring coastal countries. These attacks have led to a huge humanitarian crisis, with millions of internally displaced persons and refugees, in addition, of course, to a huge death toll. Some member states have lost control of important parts of their territories to terrorist groups.
Funding the humanitarian crisis in the region is now a big challenge. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees says it is facing a struggle to raise funds for its programs as donor fatigue creeps in. ECOWAS is also facing a struggle to raise the $2.6 billion annual funding it says it requires to deploy a counter-terrorism force in the region. Deji Badimosi, CGTN, Lagos, Nigeria.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump's semiconductor tariff plan is likely to delay.
U.S. officials are privately saying that they might not levy long-promised semiconductor tariffs anytime soon. That could signal delay for a centerpiece of President Donald Trump's economic agenda. Sources tell Reuters the administration is treading carefully to avoid reigniting a trade war with China, even after Trump promised 100% tariffs on chips back in August. Officials say triple-digit tariffs could still come at any time, but for now, Washington is weighing timing and scope. The White House insists there's been no policy change. Any delay would come as Trump faces voter frustration over high prices, with tariffs on chips potentially pushing up costs for electronics. Meanwhile, the Commerce Department has cleared exports of advanced AI chips to two state-backed Gulf tech firms. The approvals, tied to strict security conditions, cover sales to Saudi Arabia's Humane and the UAE's G42. They will each be allowed to buy the equivalent of 35,000 of NVIDIA's cutting-edge Blackwell chips for massive data center projects. The announcement coincided with a visit to the U.S. by Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and represents a big show of support by the U.S. in the two countries' AI aspirations.
Yeah, let's take a listen to news on the front line of Russia's Shadow Fleet.
Next, there are warnings the risk surrounding Russia's shadow fleet of oil tankers is escalating. Maritime authorities are reporting a sharp spike in vessels sailing without a valid flag, which could mean they aren't insured for an accident or a spill. Seaborne energy exports continue to generate billions for Russia as the Kremlin wages war in Ukraine. Our Europe correspondent, Jessica Parker, reports from the Baltic Sea.
Good man.
In Estonian waters, a countdown for the detonation of Second World War explosives.
A clean-up operation from conflicts of the past, but this stretch of water is the site of very present tensions. The Baltic is a highway for Russia's shadow fleet.
A fleet made up of hundreds of tankers accused of bypassing Western oil sanctions, which help generate billions for Russia. Some ships are even suspected of sabotage. Estonia watches anxiously.
We have at any given time in Estonian waters anywhere between 5 and 10 vessels that are actually part of the so-called shadow fleet.
One sanctioned tanker on the Baltic when we were was Unity, seen here under a former name. In the last month, it sailed down the North Sea, turned east and anchored outside a Russian oil terminal. Its listed owner hasn't responded to requests for comment, but maritime records show it's claimed several flags in 5 years, including that of the landlocked African kingdom of Lesotho, a flag designated as false. The dark fleet's getting darker. Cases of so-called false flagging have spiked as sanctions have intensified.
If there was an accident, then good luck with trying to find, you know, somebody responsible to pick up any cost whatsoever, because it's just not possible. The vessel is stateless.
How much of a threat do you think the shadow fleet is?
Many, or most, are floating rust buckets. The shadow fleet is an accident waiting to happen.
To the western end of the Baltic, where the Swedes also fear a catastrophic oil spill.
Patrols like this, we're told, are running round the clock. They want to show a presence in these waters, but it's also about going out and gathering information.
What is your call sign, over?
My call sign, 3-4.
The Coast Guard radios a sanctioned tanker. That means it can't dock in Sweden, but it can sail past.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Would you say that the response to the shadow fleet is actually quite weak?
Another way to put it is that the reaction is as strong as it can be according to the rule-based order. I think you have to think at least twice before entering let's call it a grey zone, where you are challenging the freedom of the seas.
Moscow says it's the West that's undermined global commerce. The ripples of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine now disturbing old rules of the sea. Jessica Parker, BBC News on the Baltic.
And with that, we have officially come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Voters Preparation Program brought to you by Bishop Lucas Kantinde and, of course, the Home Run Show from
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing